Well, the fruit of the Spirit, it's not a banana or a cherry or a lemon, and it's not a coconut, and it's not even a kiwi. So what is the fruit of the Spirit as we continuing to look at the Holy Spirit this summer? Paul tells us in Galatians 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, he also talks about the acts of the flesh. So let's scoot back. I'm in Galatians chapter 5. Let me begin in verse 19. The acts of the flesh. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft. The flesh, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, Paul says, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, we could sing it, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is a quality of life produced by the Holy Spirit in the life of every believer. The purpose of the fruit is transformation. That you've been given the fruit as a believer to enable you to be something and to have something that's different than the world. We've heard it now over and over in the song. The fruit has 9 distinct characteristics. And I think those 9 characteristics can be divided into 3 different groupings, if you would. The first 3 deal with our relationship to God. The next 3 enrich our relationship to each other. And the final 3 enrich the hardest, our relationship to ourselves. So how does the Spirit manifest Himself in your relationship to God? Paul begins by saying love, joy, and peace. Love. The apostle was talking about our love for God. I hate that Christianity is often referred to as a religion, because those of us who are Christians know that it's not just a religion, it's a relationship. That we have been allowed to be in relationship to a God who loves us that we can't love. That's why Jesus said you should love the Lord your God with all that you have, with your total being. And the first manifestation of the Spirit, of this fruit, is a deep and abiding love for God. And when we have this love for God, the result is joy. Joy. It's been said joy is a funny thing. Some people cause joy wherever they go, and others cause joy whenever they go. There they go, and now I'm filled with joy. Joy is not based on circumstances, you know that. Joy is not based on popularity or pleasure or position in life. Joy is based on that relationship with God. When we love God, the result is we are filled with joy. The Apostle Paul to those in Philippi said, rejoice always in the Lord. And then it's like he shook them and said, do you hear me? I say it again, find joy in God. Joy comes as a result of this deep and abiding love for God. When you love God, as we should with our all, this deep and abiding love, then you can't help but be overwhelmed with joy. And that joy leads to peace. The New Testament talks so much about peace, peace with God. The peace of God, peace in God. How many times do I see someone and I think they're just filled with peace as I meet them and as they come into my presence, as I'm with them, I'm just overwhelmed that the turmoils and the anxieties and the stress of life just seems to be absent from them. It's because they have the peace, the fruit of the Spirit, the peace of God. When we have a deep love for God, it results in this true joy that we have with God. And that God, our God, grants us. The result is living a life not free from the world, not free from COVID, not free, but in the midst of it, a life of peace. So the Spirit manifests itself, this fruit of the Spirit, in our relationship to God, love, joy, peace. But the next three relate to our relationship with others. And I think the fruit of the Spirit gets more difficult as we make our way through the list. The fruit of the Spirit, love, Paul said in Galatians 5, and joy and peace and patience. Patience has to do with a tolerance that endures. Patience, the calm willingness to accept situations that are irritating, an ability to take that which is even painful and accept it. Patience means that we simply have a long fuse with those who are hostile to us and those who oppose us, are simply a long fuse with those who send us over the edge. Patience is not natural. Having patience is not natural. Our natural tendency, as Paul mentioned, of the flesh, our natural tendency is to be critical and easily offended and allow folks to send us into orbit. But that's not living in the Spirit with God. When we're walking in the Spirit and we're allowing the fruit of the Spirit to permeate our lives, God will produce within you, as a believer, patience and kindness. Kindness is not a word of weakness, but it's a word of conviction. Kindness is a strong word, and it's an active word. Kindness reacts positively and intentionally to others, even when they mistreat us. Kindness is the desire to treat others with respect, a gentle respect. I believe First Baptist Church Lufkin has some of the kindest people in our membership that I have ever known in any church that I've pastored. A few sore heads, yes, but by and large, a very kind church. I want you to pause right now and think about our church family. And think of a person who epitomizes kindness. That person has the fruit of the Spirit evident. I wonder, did anyone think of you? I'm reminded of a member. But see, not all folks have taken a good bite of this kindness part of the fruit. I'm reminded of this church member who was difficult at best. He was always angry, always bitter, always condemning. And it seemed like when he came to church, it was worse than ever. He was nicer at his job than he was at church. He was nicer at home, but when he came to church, he was not kind at all. Church brought out the worst in him, and even he knew it. And so he went to see his doctor, and he said, Doctor, I need help. I need a new drug. I need medication. I can't even go to church and worship because I'm not very kind when I get there. And the doctor, who went to church with him, said, you're so true. Here, you take this prescription. It's a tranquilizer, and it'll help you. And so he began to take it. And the very next week was church business conference, and he went. And the very next day after church business conference, he went back to see his doctor, and he said, Doctor, I am not taking that pill. I'm not taking them anymore. And the doctor said, why? Didn't they work? He said, work? They made me act nice to people I can't stand. Made me act nice to people. That's kindness. Kindness is acting nice to people we can't stand, and you don't get that from a pill. You get it from the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. You know, it was 32 years ago this summer that Republican candidate for President George H.W. Bush said in those words that he desired our nation to be a kinder and gentler nation. Boy, do we need that again? Christians, believers of God who are filled with the Holy Spirit, ought to be kinder than the world. We get that when we allow the Spirit to control us. Love, joy, peace, patience. It's getting harder. Kindness and goodness. Goodness has to do with acceptable moral and spiritual behavior. Goodness flows from a life of patience and a life of kindness. To walk in the Spirit and to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit is to patiently endure opposition and to act kindly toward others. And the result is this overflowing abundance of goodness. And finally, the Apostle Paul, in writing to these in Galatians, these believers who were really torn every which way, who really needed to hear this, Galatians 5, the last three are the most difficult because it relates to self. You see, I may convince you that I'm very patient, those who don't know me. I may convince you that I'm kind and that I'm filled with joy and love, but these last three deal with oneself. Faithfulness. Faithfulness means being sincere and true and good. Faithfulness is living the best we can forever and ever. Faithfulness is constant and continuous, everlasting commitment within. And gentleness, the Bible often translates this word as meekness. And whether you use gentleness or meekness, it's not a word of weakness. A gentle person recognizes who he or she is. And they recognize all they are is from God. And meekness is an attitude we begin to have toward others and even toward the ways of God. And it's more so how we deal with ourself. And it means we put ourself under the very control of the Father. And the final one is control, self-control. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The word refers to restraining of our passions and our appetites. It means to live a life that is under control. It's a person who responds in the appropriate way at the appropriate time, not living in the flesh, but living a life of discipline in order. You know, I could, and maybe I should, take all nine of these aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. We could take one full sermon on love, and 1 week on joy, and 1 week on peace. This could definitely be 9 weeks of sermons because there's so much that the Bible takes from these gifts, these fruit of the Spirit that we could learn. But let me leave us with two conclusions. And here's the first. The Holy Spirit wants to produce every one of these characteristics in the life of every believer. Hear that again. The Holy Spirit longs to give this fruit, every aspect, to every believer. The word fruit that Paul used is singular. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's not a plural word. Paul wasn't talking about these fruit that you picked this one and I've got this one and I think I have patience but I don't have kindness. God wants you to have every aspect of this fruit. It's one fruit. It's one fruit with 9 different flavors, if you would. But it's one fruit. God wants every aspect of this fruit to be manifest in the life of every believer. That's hard for our mind to grasp. Because we know ourselves and we know that we may be patient, but we may not be faithful. We may love God, but we may not have peace. Fruit of the Spirit is something God longs for every believer to have every aspect of that fruit in their life, in your life today. And finally, the fruit of the Spirit is not something that you generate within yourself, but it's something produced in you by God through the Holy Spirit. This is big. Don't miss this. Having the fruit of the Spirit is not something you wake up and you say, today I'm going to choose to have the fruit. Today I'm going to choose to be patient. Today I'm going to choose to love God. Today I'm going to choose to be at peace. Oh, today, I think today I'm going to be kind or good. Oh, God, today I'm going to be faithful. And in and of ourselves, we can't do it. That should be liberating. That in and of our own power and ourselves, we can't produce this fruit. It's beyond us. Oh, we can do the works of the flesh. We're really good at jealousy and fits of rage and selfish ambition and dissension and faction and envy. We're good at that and we can do that. But what we can't do, God can do. God is a God of grace. Aren't we glad? And when we fail, and when we try to do this on our own, God says, stop trying to do it on your own. Let my Spirit that lives in you, let my Spirit work. Allow the Spirit. I mean, there's so much in Galatians 5, verse 16. Paul wrote, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other. See that tension? The flesh and the Spirit, they're in conflict. And you end up doing what you don't want to do, but be led by the Spirit. Verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. What a promise. The Holy Spirit of God will transform your life. He wants to. The Holy Spirit of God who lives in you. As a believer, at that moment of conversion, you were filled with that Spirit. Last week, the Spirit longs to enrich your life, to empower your life, to encourage your life. And the Holy Spirit does that by giving every single believer the fruit. It's not easy. Because my old human nature, my fleshly nature, it wants to rule. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Satan has lost. The world does not have that control. Why do we keep giving the world the control of our life? Instead, let the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Take a bite of the fruit. Let the fruit live in your life. Shall we pray? God, if I try to do this on my own power, and I do that often, and I always fail. I began to think, God, if I would just do this, if I would just be more patient, if I would just have more peace. Oh, God, if I would just make myself be kind and be gentle and be good and be faithful. And I fail. God, you've given me and you've given every believer the Spirit, the fruit. But we have to surrender. We have to surrender our old human nature to you. We have to surrender every day our life and say, Holy Spirit, rule in my life. Holy Spirit, you have enriched, you have empowered, you have encouraged. Oh, Holy Spirit, let that fruit be evident. God, on this day, in the midst of all the transition in our world, may we leave here more committed than ever to letting the Spirit within be evident to all, that fruit, may we live in it. It's my prayer in Christ's name.